Good morning. It is great to be here with you this morning. We are, Merry Christmas. Let's start there. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Well, my name is T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here at High Point, and I'm so glad that you're here with us. Our Advent series this year has been called The One. And we've talked about the one who brings light, the one who prophesies, the one who redeems. And this morning we're going to talk about the one who saves. Spoiler alert, they're all Jesus. In Advent, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, and it leads to Christmas Day. And so we light the candles that correspond with hope, joy, and love. And then today we're going to light the peace candle. Now our preaching team has had their families come up and read and pray. This series, and my family came up with Dan a few weeks ago, and so I asked Mama Jean, who is the grandmother of our church, to come up, and I'm going to light the candles, and then she is going to have a blessing for us. We're lighting the peace candle today, so glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased.
Father God, we are so thankful for your gift to the Holy Spirit, which indwells each one of us who believe in your Son, Jesus, and makes us one not only in this congregation, but in all the people that believe the worldwide. And as I thought about how blessed we were and how awesome it must have been for the shepherds to hear the chorus of heaven from angels who had probably never heard an instrument, who maybe not ever heard singing, to be blessed with the announcement that Jesus was bringing to us peace on earth. And we, as your believers in Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, recognize, Father, that there is no peace without him, and that all the peace that we have, even with our own hearts, has come as a gift to us. We praise you, God, because you robbed heaven of your Son. We have looked and hunted things to give to people we love, but there has been never a gift as big as the gift you gave us. When you said, I will give my Son to save the whole world. And in him, Father, we have salvation. In him, Father, we have hope. And in him, most assuredly, we have peace. I personally know, Father, that there are a lot of people in this bunch that's gathered right here that are grieving. And the only peace that we have and the only hope that we have is your Son, Jesus. And so we praise you for him. And we ask you, Father, to continue to lead us in worship, because your word has told us that we are assembled with the host of heaven every time that we come together by the Holy Spirit, and that we and all the angels of heaven join in one chorus with all the world. And we ask you, Jesus, that we may bless you and part of this chorus this morning. And we thank you, Father, that we have been blessed that we could be here and have had the opportunity to worship, because deep within our hearts, every one of us have the desire to worship. And without the leading of your Holy Spirit and the truth of Jesus, and you're coming to bring us to yourself and bring us together as a family that belongs to you, no one will know how to worship except by your grace, by your mercy, and by your Holy Spirit. And we praise you for that. We praise you for every family that is here and is united in worship this morning. We praise you for the ones that have families that are still traveling. Keep them safe, Father. But most of all, we praise you for Jesus. And we have been so, so blessed. And may we show others the love that he has given us, so that they also may come into the reunion of the family, and that they may know peace, and that they may understand that this world that we see around us is not from him and not from you, but only from Satan. And so we just bless you, Father, and thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that leads us in worship. as we go continuously through this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You just put it back there, mute it, no worries. All right. Thank you so much. So, Jim recited for us some familiar and happy words that we've heard on Christmas probably since we were children from Luke 2. And I want to focus on a little bit of that today. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. This Christmas, I want to look over the wonders of this text that called Jesus our Savior. And the birth of Jesus is not just a story that we tell. It actually happened. It was a real day. For unto you is born this day. It happened on a day in history, not some mythological, imaginary story, but a day when Caesar Augustus was emperor of Rome and Quirinius was governor of Syria. It was a day planned in eternity before the creation of the world, before the creation of the universe. With untold light years and of space and billions of galaxies created and made glorious for this day and what it means for human history. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He's talking about Jesus here. All things were created for him, for his appearance, for this day of his appearing. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. It happened on a day, a perfect day in the fullness of time, the perfect time appointed by God before the foundation of the world. For unto you is born this day. Not only was it a real day, it was an actual real city. In the city of David, it happened in a city, not Narnia, not Middle Earth, not in a galaxy far, far away. It happened in a city 7,100 miles from here. I did the math this week. 7,100 miles from Cedar Park, a city that still exists today. In present-day Palestine, the city's name is Bethlehem. Bethlehem, 6 miles outside of Jerusalem. Bethlehem, the city where Jesse lived, the father of David. David, the king, the great king of Israel, Bethlehem. It happened in a city, a real city, as real as Cedar Park, Austin, or Leander. He's a savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. How many of you are perfect? Raise your hand. Excellent, excellent. If you raised your hand, you're now not because you're lying. So it's a good paradox there. But the deal is, if you have ever sinned, you need a Savior. If you have ever sinned, you need a Savior. And the angel said to Joseph, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Only God can forgive sins against God. Only God can forgive sins against God, and that's why God sent his eternal Son, the Son of God, into the world, because he is God. That's why Jesus said the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Therefore, a Savior was born. Next, he's a Messiah. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. Christ is the English word for Christos, which means anointed one, which is the meaning of Messiah. This is the one long predicted, long awaited, the one anointed above all others, the final anointed king, the final anointed prophet, the final anointed priest. In him, all the promises of God are fulfilled. He's going to fulfill the hopes and dreams of godly Israel and more, so much more, because he's also Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the ruler, the sovereign, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Lord of the universe. Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. So this is Christmas summed up, right? The Lord of never-ending, universal, sovereign governance, the Lord of all lords, came to earth on a day in real history, in a city, in the real world. He's a Savior who takes away all of our guilt. He's the Christ who fulfills all of our hopes. He's the Lord who defeats all our enemies and makes us safe and forever satisfied. So I rejoice with you this Christmas that we have a great Savior, Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, born in a city on a day to save us from our sins, so many sins. This is great news. Great news. And this great news has two purposes. This great news has two purposes. When the angel announced the news to the shepherds, he pointed to the very shed where the baby lay, and then suddenly an army of angels appeared in the sky. Apparently one angel is enough to bring the news, but it takes an army to celebrate the news. And the meaning of this news, the ultimate outcome of this news, it demands an army of angels come and be excited about it. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The joyful news on that day, at the perfect fullness of time, in the perfect prophesied city, a Savior was born, who is Christ our Lord. And there are two, this news has two great outcomes, two great purposes. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he's well pleased. So God's glory, the coming of this child, Jesus, is the greatest revelation to the glory of God, even among all the heights in heaven. The coming of this child brings peace, brings the peace of God to the people who will one day fill the whole earth with righteousness and peace. First and foremost, God is glorified because this child is born. And second, peace is to spread everywhere this child is received. So there are great purposes for the coming of Jesus. Glory ever ascending from man to God. We're praising him. We're giving him the glory that he deserves. That's the praise. And then there's the peace, the ever descending peace from God to mankind. God's glory sung out amongst the men for the sake of his name, and God's peace lived out among men for the sake of his name. There's hardly a better way to sum up what God was about when he created the world, or when he came to reclaim the world in Jesus Christ, than to say his glory and our peace His greatness, our joy. His beauty, our pleasure. The point of creation and redemption is that God is glorious and means to be known and praised for his glory by a peace-loving community. Our peace from him. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The old King James Version that I grew up hearing translates 14 as, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's not a great translation, but I still love how it rolls off my tongue. That's what my grandfather and my mother said, my grandmother and my grandfather said, and so I still hear that. The NIV says, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. NASB, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And the one we've been using this morning, the ESV, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The point is that even though God's offer of peace goes out to everybody, only his chosen people, only the ones who receive Christ and trust him as Savior and Messiah and Lord are going to experience that true peace. God's peace in Christ is offered to the world, but only to the sons of peace. Only the sons and daughters of peace receive it. So how do you know if you're a son of peace, a daughter of peace? How do you know if you're part of who the angels are talking about and their promise when they say peace among those with whom he is pleased? I'm not the kind of person to ask you a question and then not give you an answer. That feels rude. The answer is you welcome the peacemaker. You receive our Savior Jesus into your heart. Now, there are three types of peace. Three types of peace, three relationships of peace. And my great desire for you this morning is that you will enjoy this Christmas time with peace. Jesus has come to inaugurate peace among his people. And there are three relationships to peace that he wants you to pursue and enjoy. Now, I need to say, when we talk about peace, I'm not talking about the absence of conflict and animosity only, but also the presence of joyful tranquility. So much richness of interpersonal communication as you are capable of. So let's look at these three peaceful relationships briefly. Make sure that you're enjoying this as much as you can. By this, I don't mean my sermon. I mean Jesus and peace. Although I would like for you to like it too. And the key to each of these is not to separate what the angels put together. The glory of God and the peace that you long for. The main point of peace. God's purpose is to give you peace by being the most glorious part of your life. In the New Testament, God is called the God of peace 5 times. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Paul says, Jesus himself is our peace. This means that the peace of God, the peace of Christ, can never be separated from God and Christ. If we want peace to rule in our lives, God has to rule in our lives. God's purpose is not to give us peace separate from him. His purpose is to give you peace by being the most glorious part of your life. So the key to peace, keeping together what the angels put together. Glory to God and the peace of God. First of all, I want to talk about peace with God. The most basic need we have is peace with God. Foundation of all our pursuits of peace. If we don't go here first, all other experiences of peace are superficial and temporary. And the key passage here is Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, and there's the pivotal act of believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means that God declared you just in his sight by attributing to you the righteousness of Jesus. And he does that by faith alone, since we've been justified by faith, not by works, not by traditions, not by baptism, not by church attendance, not by piety, not by parentage, by faith alone. And when we believe that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, we're united with him, and his righteousness is counted as ours by God. We're justified by our faith, and then the works come after that. That's how we show our faith. Works are a byproduct of faith. This is what it's talking about when he says, I shall know you by your fruits. Result of peace with God. God's anger towards us because of our sin is put away. Our rebellion against him is overcome. God adopts us into his family, and from now on, our dealings with him are for our good. He'll never be against us. He can see the fruit of your faith. He is our Father and our friend. We have peace, and we don't need to be afraid anymore. Next, it's peace with ourselves. Peace with God first, and now peace with ourselves. And because we have peace with God, because we're justified by faith, we begin to grow in the enjoyment of peace with ourselves. And here I include any sense of guilt, anxiety that tends to paralyze us and make us feel hopeless. This is believing in the promises of God with a view of glory. A view of glorifying God in a way in our lives is key. Philippians 4 talks about this. It's one of the best passages on this. Don't be anxious about anything. By the way, the opposite of anxiety is peace. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, roll your anxieties onto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. The picture here is that our hearts and minds are under assault. Guilt, worries, threats, confusion, uncertainties, they all threaten our peace. Paul says God wants us to guard our hearts. He wants to guard our hearts and minds, guard them with his peace. He guards them in a way that goes beyond the human understanding, more than we can fathom. Don't limit the peace that God can give you by your understanding of peace. If your understanding of peace is all you'll allow God to do, you're missing the signs. You're missing the beauty of it. He gives us peace that doesn't make sense, peace that supersedes rationality. And he does it when we take our anxieties and our fears and our trust and we pray to him and we carry those things to him. He protects us. And when we do this, when we come to him, we remember we have peace with him. We trust him as our loving and almighty heavenly Father to help us. His peace comes and steadies us, protects us from guilt, anxiety, fear, whatever you're dealing with. The Bible says we're to have the faith of a child. And I really had no grasp on what that meant until I had my own. My son does not worry about food, money. He said something about, I don't have to go to work, I just have to play at school this week. We'll have a talk about what school's supposed to be later. But he has nothing to worry about. Whether he left a toy at someone else's house is about the extent of his worry. Because everything that matters, my wife and I are taken care of. And that's the faith that we should have in Jesus. That's the faith we should have in God. There are things that you can worry about, whether you're going to stub your toe when you step out of the car, but your salvation, your faith, his love for you, those are not things you should be worried about at all. At all. So do that this Christmas. Take your anxieties to God. Tell him about them. Ask him to help, to protect you, to restore your peace, and use you to make peace. The third relationship where God wants us to enjoy peace is peace with others, and our relationship with other people. Now, this is the one we have the least control over, all right? The one we have the least control over. So we need to look at this carefully, the way that Paul does in Romans 12. He says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Many of you are going to be spending time with family this Christmas. Family does not always equal peace. There are relatives that you go, I'm glad they're coming, but I'm also not thrilled they're coming. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't have a relative like that, it might be you. So keep that in mind as you are trying to make peace with everyone this year. There are awkward relationships with family. There are painful relationships with family. Sometimes that pain is old. Sometimes that pain is new. And in some relationships, you know what you have to do. You know what you have to do, no matter how hard it is. In some of them, you are baffled. You have no idea what the path for peace calls for, how to make things better. And in some, you absolutely do. But in both cases, the key is trusting on the promises of God and the heartfelt awareness of how he forgave you through Christ. I think there are family members that I struggle with, I'm going to be honest, and they're probably going to be watching this soon. But there are family members that I struggle with, there are family members that you struggle with. And the verse that I come back to again and again is Ephesians 4. It's in Ephesians 4, and it says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Continue to cultivate in your life a sense of amazement that in spite of all your sins, God's forgiven you through Christ. And you have peace with God because of that. And it's in that sense of amazement that I, a sinner, have peace with God. And that makes my heart tender, kind, and forgiving. The Bible says to extend that 70 times 7. Now, your niceness, your kindness, your want for peace might be thrown back in your face. But you're in good company. It happened to Jesus too. It happened to Jesus too. And if it hurts, that has the option of making you bitter if you're not careful. Don't let it be. I need you to continue to be more amazed that your wrongs have been forgiven than upset about the wrongs that have happened to you. All right? Be amazed that you have peace with God, that you have peace with your soul. Your guilt is taken away. So keep trusting God. If you hear nothing else today, God knows what he's doing. You should trust him. You should trust him. Keep his glory. Don't be excited about your effectiveness of making peace in relationships. Don't keep that as the focus on your life. I want you to be like the angels. Glory to God in the highest is the first thing. Peace amongst his people is the second thing. Jesus saves us from the pain that comes from a lack of peace in our hearts. I want to read, now that we've talked about this, I want to read this with you again. Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is why he came on a day in a city as a Savior, as a Messiah, and as our Sovereign, that God would get the glory and that you would know peace. May the God of peace give you his peace and get his glory. God, thank you so much for your Son. Thank you so much for Christmas and everything that it means. I pray that we will have peace with you, have peace with ourselves, and have peace with people in our lives that are difficult. Sometimes the people in our lives that are difficult and ourselves are the same. And I pray that you will give us an increasing amount of awe at your forgiveness to us so that we can be at peace with others. Thank you again for your Son, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.